This is Wake Up Call.
Another kind of daytime radio program.
On the Sports Map Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage. Home loans that fit your life. Rocket can.
And Real Ketones Keto Energy Shots.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
And a good morning to you. Happy Friday. We've made it to the end of another week. Glad you can be with us. Sports Map Radio. It is Wake Up Call. We want to hit you. Want you to hit us up on Twitter at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver. That's Ron with two N's. Also, I keep forgetting we have a Facebook page. Check us out there and Wake Up Call. Leave us a message, whatever you want. Like our page. We'd love to hear from you through that avenue as well. So we predicted this. I don't think it was a big, you know, Nostradamus reveal. The Pac-12 is playing football. Why is the Pac-12 playing football? Because everybody's playing football, and the Big Ten told them they could. They are going to have a seven-game schedule starting in November. They will play seven games and have their conference championship sometime in late December, mid-December, and they'll be done. And then they'll be it. December 18th conference championship game after a seven-game slate. It made it a lot easy when the Big Ten decided to get back into the college football game. The Pac-12 scrambled after that to say, oh, wait a minute, hold on. We're not going to be the only Power 5 conference not to play this year. Maybe circumstances are different. You know, again, California, Oregon, Washington, a little bit more stringent on the lockdowns and the safety measures, etc. But they'll find a way around it. And plus the wildfires that are going on right now. That gives you till November to see if you can get the air quality back up in Northern California. But nevertheless, this was more about, hey, everybody else is doing it. We're going to be doing it too. Not one conference of the major conferences stuck to the guns of this medical science that we have been given is so solid, we will not back around it. You know, we will not maneuver around it. Science wins, right? You hear this all the time. People going, I believe in science. Well, the reason the Big Ten and the Pac-12 stopped their football seasons was because the science was overwhelming. And then something magical happened and that science was completely reverted. And now they're both back in the football game to begin with. I think it's a good decision for both of them because, again, players want to play. If you do it safely, yep, there'll be games that'll be canceled. We've already seen it. But you are also providing the avenue that the players wanted when they signed your school to begin with. Those who don't want to play will opt out and get another year of eligibility, but they've shown that they can get back on the gridiron and get some games in, and they'll have a champion coming up in December. Good, the bad, and the dumb coming up next. Wake Up Call.
At the Sports Map Radio Network, we wear Boomer Naturals masks. Order now at BoomerNaturals.com. Use promo code SportsMapRadio for 20% off. Wake Up Call continues now on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Time for the good.
That's really nice.
The bad.
That's the bad guy.
And the dumb.
What an idiot. Oh, what a loser.
Brought to you by Real Ketones Keto Energy Shots. Sustained energy without the sugar, jitters, or crash. Here's Tony D and Ron Culver.
All right, end of the week, good, the bad, and the dumb. The good could be that we're at the end of the week, but, you know, depending on how you look at the week. Maybe it was good, maybe it was bad, maybe it was dumb. It doesn't matter. Let's get the good of the day, Ron Culver.
Do you know, what's the best way to honor a teammate?
Alive or dead?
Alive.
Where is jersey?
Basically, what's the best way for Jimmy Butler to honor Tyler Harrell?
Oh, good point.
Or Hero.
Tyler Hero? Oh, I know. I keep hearing it mispronounced. It's Hero. It's just simply Hero.
Is it Hero?
It's it. Hero.
With two R's?
That's what it is.
I have no problems with the second
consonant.
That's
exactly what it is. Why are people making it out to be more than it is? His name is Tyler Hero.
Yeah, Tyler Hero.
It's not Hero. It's Hero. It's simple. He was the hero of the game. Tyler, use all the wording that you want. I don't know, take him out to dinner?
That'd be one way, but Tyler Butler, since you're in a bubble, you can't really take him out to
dinner. You can't take him out to dinner.
I mean, it's Disney.
Take him golfing at one of the Disney World resorts, I guess. But he gets free golf anyway, so.
Yeah, the way he did it, which I kind of admire and respect, he wore his high school jersey to practice.
That's awesome. Now, that's cool. How did he get that high school jersey?
No idea. I guess, did you call up mom real quick? I mean, how do you do that as quick? Does he just have a closet full of them?
And just shoves them down there?
I mean, you know, just, I mean, just, no, I'm saying, does Jimmy Butler.
Yeah, clear that up. Does Jimmy Butler have a closet of other people's high school jerseys? Is that what you're asking?
Yeah.
All right. I don't know, but
because if not,
yeah,
that
you're
was
right.
A quick turnaround.
That was just a day ago, so like it was Wednesday night. That means Jimmy Butler must have gone on the phone quickly and said, send a package as quickly as possible to the bubble of Tyler Hero's high school jersey.
I don't know. I just thought it was like, hey, you know what? Bud, you brought us here. You got us into this, and thank you.
I got to ask Lee Ellis about Tyler Hero because that really was an incredible performance for a guy that came off the bench and scored 37 with a team that has got, you know, Dragic and Butler. And he was like, he's the hot hand. Spoelstra shortened his bench, used only like 7 players, but then was like, we're going to gear it up towards Hero. He's got the thing. He's got the hot hand going.
What an appropriate name.
I know. Played for
now
Kentucky.
Now that I know that it's Hero, just as much as I knew now know that hockey has 3 games under their belt.
That's right. That's right. Yes. All right. What's the bad of the day then?
There is this security at Miller Park needs to be kind of beefed up a little bit more.
That's the park of the Milwaukee Brewers.
Right. A guy casually walked into the stadium.
How?
He just opened the front door and walked in. There's security cameras all over, so they captured the whole thing on security camera.
And
okay?
You said, I'm just going there?
Oh, I'm not done yet.
Okay.
He casually walks in, makes his way down to the field, right? I mean, I think he even brought a soccer ball with him. I don't know. There was something round down there. Just casually walked in, made his way down to the field, notices, hey, look, there's a tractor over there. I think I want to ride the tractor. I mean,
sure.
I don't think this guy would pass the sobriety test, to be honest with you. But proceeds to get on the tractor, starts it up, and what the bad part of it is, he starts tearing up the field.
Oh no! Didn't they play a game there last night?
Maybe
I don't know. No, I think it was a Busch Stadium. I think they were on the road.
Yeah, this is definitely during the day.
Yeah,
but I mean, someone's getting fired. Because first of all,
oh no question,
the door. I mean, he didn't bust in. He didn't break a window to get into the stadium because it has glass doors at the front of the stadium. He didn't break a window. He just opened the door and walked in.
Yeah, you can't. No.
Made his way down to the field easily without ever being stopped because obviously security is sleeping at this point. Got a tractor and the keys were in the ignition because he wasn't searching around. I don't think maybe they were in the visor. I don't know.
Is this one of those situations where you feel like, all right, I've already broken the law entering this place. I might as well just ride the tractor.
I might as well.
Like, I mean, if I'm going to get caught doing this, I might as well do all of these things while I'm here.
It's an amazing video. I mean, the video itself of the security, I mean, it's all chopped up, but it's 2 minutes long.
What else is really weird is how did he, like, okay, let's say I'm in downtown Nashville. All right. And I walk by, I'm in the parking lot of Nissan Stadium. It's kind of a bad example because baseball parks can be on like sidewalks of downtown, whereas football stadiums are kind of surrounded by parking lots and they're kind of in a different part of town. But all right, I'll use Coors Field, for example, because that's in Lodo, downtown Denver. Let's say I'm walking by Coors Field. What would make me go, let's just see if these gates are open? Like, did he plan on doing this or did you just go, what the heck? Let's see if the gate's open.
That's
why
I'm assuming that he couldn't pass the sobriety test.
Right.
I'm emailing you the video so you can see it. Because, what this guy's doing, he just casually walks in there, then he digs up a huge hole between first and second, just like drops the front of the tractor down and just makes a trench right there. Then he goes down to home plate. He's moving dirt around down there. He's kicking up the grass in the area. Obviously this video isn't in real time because it keeps skipping ahead and like it's chopped up in different pieces. But he had to have been there for a good hour.
Wow, before anybody noticed that he was there?
I don't know if anyone noticed he was there.
Wow, that's wild. That's really wild.
Now I'm watching part of it where he's on top of the pitching mound with the tractor.
Well, like I said, once you break in, you might as well just do whatever you want to do until they catch you.
Yeah, and then
you might as well.
Then, the ending of the video is him just walking out the door.
I'm always nervous with stadiums. When I was taking my son to Florida and we were walking around campus, people were walking into the football stadium, right? And just middle of the day on like a Thursday. And I was like, can we do that? And they said, yeah. And I'm like, no, we can't. And they're like, yeah, you can walk in. People were running up and down the stairs,
But there was no security? There
was nobody there. It was like, no, the stadium is open for business. Like, fans were going in to take pictures. Students were running all... My son tells me all the time. He's like, oh, I went to the stadium and ran the steps. Like, he just goes there on a daily basis. I go, I'm just wired where I know I'm not supposed to be there during non-game day. Like, I would think it was a trick if you told me I could be inside a stadium. Like, I think maybe college stadiums are different because they're public, you know, universities, and they belong to the, you know, they belong to the public per se. But at the same time, I'm like, I'm just wired where that I'm not doing that. Like, I was so nervous when we went in to look around the stadium when we went on our tour, because I was like, I'm not supposed to be here. Right? Right. It's not game day. What am I doing here?
Let me ask you this, right? So there's no security. If you guys made your way down to the field, saw a tractor, jumped in the tractor and revved up the engine and started going down, wouldn't someone stop you?
I would think somebody would stop us.
You think security would all of a sudden appear out of nowhere?
Absolutely.
I mean,
there were people, like, there were workers there, like, you know, all in masks and, working the stadium. But you're right. If we went down on the field. Now, you weren't allowed to go on the field. Like, that was, like, the field that was growing the grass for the season. But, like, you could walk around the little track around the sides and whatnot. But, I mean, it was like, I don't think I'm supposed to do this.
You know, I remember when I was younger, we were on a cross-country trip and we were coming back, and we stopped off at Notre Dame and went to the football field. I stole a rock from Notre Dame.
Oh, that's pretty cool.
That was because you couldn't step on the grass, but you could be on the fringe. You can be down on the ground, but on the fringe of the stadium.
Yeah.
And I saw a rock, and I'm like, oh, I'm going to take a rock from Notre Dame. I've lost that rock since then. And you couldn't tell, like, oh, that's from Notre Dame, you know, but it's like, ah, Notre Dame rock. I'm going to take it.
That's right.
So, this is one of the most bizarre things I've ever seen. This would have been the dumb of the day.
Well, what is the dumb of the day?
Cake Boss.
Cake Boss.
You ever watch that show?
No.
You've never seen Cake Boss?
I've know of it, but I don't watch it.
I think you might enjoy Cake Boss, Tony.
Well, let's get to the dumb of the day. What about Cake Boss?
The owner or the main guy around Cake Boss, his name is Buddy.
Okay.
Buddy Valestro.
Right? Oh, he's a New Jersey guy.
Yeah.
Okay, I know who he is.
And he makes these incredible looking cakes.
Okay. I'm thinking, when you said Cake Boss, I was thinking of Duff, the guy from Baltimore, who had another cake making show.
Okay. No, I'm talking about Cake Boss because it's kind of...
I know who that Jersey guy is.
It's a bunch of Italians making cakes.
That's right.
You know,
okay.
A bunch of the bakery. Anyways, the way this article reads, he Roy Munson'd his hand.
Roy Munson'd his hand.
Do you remember who Roy Munson is?
We've got to explain it. Roy Munson was a character, Woody Harrelson and Kingpin.
Right.
He got his hand caught. Well, they forced his hand in the movie. They forced his hand into the ball returner, and it mangled it. And he ended up with a hook.
Right.
Lost his hand.
Well, he didn't put his hand in the ball returner. He put his hand in the pin setter.
Right. He did that?
Cake Boss guy? Cake Boss guy, because I guess there was a little glitch in there, and he was on a bowling trip and decided, I guess, to go back there to fix it himself. I don't know why.
So can he make cakes now?
Well, he has a 1.5-inch rod in his hand, metal rod in his hand.
It's a delicate process making those kind of cakes, right?
Yeah.
I mean, you're an artist.
You see him in the hospital bed, hand fully wrapped in a cast, hand elevated, hanging on a sling, one of those things that just holds your hand up next to the hospital bed. I mean, come on. Whose bright idea? First of all, don't you have people? Aren't there employees? I mean, how do you even get back there? I could never go.
Oh, I could never get back there.
I haven't been to a bowling alley in years, but that's a long walk to get back there.
Yeah.
I would think someone would notice me.
Plus, the lanes are slippery with the oil.
No, you don't walk on the lanes. You walk sides.
I don't know.
Down the sides. But then you get back
I haven't been in a bowling alley in probably 5 years. So I have no idea. I'm just assuming you would walk down the thing.
Somehow Buddy made it back there with, I'm assuming, the permission to go and fix it, and went and tried to fix the pin setter himself, got his hand wrenched up, and Let's see. I mean, I don't know if he fully Roy Munson'd his hand, but again,
I'm just wondering about his career making cakes.
Right.
Like, what would this do for a guy that's going to make the fondant a certain style?
I mean, it's his right hand, which I'm presuming is his dominant hand. That's where the artistry is, right?
Yeah.
He's really good. I mean, he uses that right hand to smooth everything down, to carve everything up. I mean, is the cake business done?
I got to think. I mean, depending on if he can.
Does he have an apprentice?
Right. What's the worst hand injury in movies? Is it Roy Munson or the guy in Casino that was cheating and got the hammer? When the guy was pounding his hammer down, breaking his bones. That makes me cringe. So,
Saw was
it? Chop off his foot.
It chopped off his foot.
Right.
Okay.
Right. Man, that is too bad for Cake Boss, man. That's too bad. But now I Googled him, and now I remember him, so I know who he is.
Yeah.
I was just thinking of the other guy. There's another guy that makes cakes on Food Network.
Is there?
Yeah.
I haven't caught that one.
Yeah.
I used to watch that show a lot because I was always wanted to see the end result. And I was like, damn, how does that look?
Right.
How is that even? I would never think that's a cake.
A hamburger. Lee Ellis is going to join us. We'll talk NBA coming up in 15 minutes. A good, the bad, and the dumb. Brought to you by Real Ketones Keto Energy Shots, giving you sustained energy without the sugar jitters or crash. Keto Energy Shots consistently get 5-star reviews. Turn your body into a fat-burning machine in only minutes and rev up your metabolism, too. Feel energized while shedding unwanted pounds with Real Keto Energy Shots. It's good, bad, and the dumb. Wake up call, Sports Map Radio.
This is Wake Up Call on the Sportsnap Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices and excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto Parts. O'Reilly Auto Parts, better prices every day. Talked about the Pac-12 getting back to football. Mountain West Conference doing the exact same thing. Listen, I think it's a good idea to play football. I do. I thought it was way early for both the Big Ten and the Pac-12 to dump the season back in August. But they did, and then when other conferences decided not to follow suit, they were sort of left hanging, and then when football was being played, and while we've had games canceled, look, Houston has yet to play a game. You know, the Tulsa-Arkansas State game this weekend is canceled. Notre Dame and Wake Forest has also been postponed until later on this year. So we've had games kind of go through and have to be erased from the calendar because of positive tests. It was the Big Ten and the Pac-12, they didn't want to be on the outside looking in. So I'm going to preface what I'm saying with, I agree with these conferences coming up with the best and ideal safety measures to play college football this season. But on the flip side, I kind of wonder if I, as a guy that wanted schools to play, would I've had more respect for them if both of them stood by their decision and said, you know what? What we saw in the reports from our medical experts, we're not playing. You guys go ahead and play. We're not playing. It feels like these conferences just went, oh, shoot, nobody's following our lead. So now we've got to backtrack. If you are going to stand behind a decision based on science, you better convince the public that the science was either wrong or has changed. You cannot go back to the well and say, well, we thought the SEC, the ACC, and the Big 12 were going to cancel football too. We thought if we did it, then the pressure would be on those conferences to do the exact same thing. I mean, after all, if Ohio State is not playing football, if Penn State's not playing football, can we really expect Clemson to? Yeah, maybe Alabama, Florida, Georgia, and the SEC. But could we really expect Oklahoma to? But that didn't happen. So now they go on this sort of defensive, like, oh, okay, yeah, we've reevaluated everything. And guess what? It's safe. It's safe. It wasn't safe to play one down of football, according to your medical experts, on August 11th. Now, You can say developing, you know, testing and all of these protocols, but that is why you were criticized in the first place for canceling the season on August 11th, is that you didn't want to listen to people who were saying, hey, you don't have to do this. Look, those presidents that voted to cancel the season in August, they weren't stupid or naive. They knew there was rapid testing being available. Okay, they knew that there was safety protocols they could have implemented. They knew that if they put a little money behind it, that they could develop a way of quarantining players and testing players and putting the right procedures in and keeping social distance requirements and everything that all these other conferences had planned to do. They could have done the exact same thing, right? They either didn't want to do it or they really feared the Armageddon outlook of what could happen if you had outbreak on team after team after team within your conference. What it would mean for liability, what it would mean if a player got sick and then his career was derailed, or a player got sick and didn't make it and passed away from the virus. Instead, they stood by this sort of, we have data, and the data shows we can't play football. But then miraculously, a little over a month later, the Big Ten says, we can, and now the Pac-12 follows suit, right? Look, as I said earlier, I want everybody to play. I think the kids and the, well, I should say kids, the athletes want to play football, right? And they want to go through the safety measures. There was an outcry amongst parents and players that they wanted to play. Okay, so let's put the protocols in place to play. But I almost feel like if you were going to make this kind of stand, the Braves stand by their decision. It would have been more noble for the Big Ten to say, we made our decision, and good luck to the ACC, SEC, Big 12, and everybody else that wants to play football. But we've made this decision. But you know what happened? The moment they made it, guys like me criticized it. And also, there was a people who were saying, look out, in the next couple of years, you might not recover from this. Like, down the road, you'll recover from it because you are Ohio State, you are Penn State, you are Michigan. You're too big to fail. But in the short term, when you're vying for a recruit that is also considering a place like Clemson or Georgia or Florida or Texas, you may not land that recruit because of what you did to the current players right now. Especially if the season goes off without too much of a problem. Meaning most of the games get in, nobody dies from this thing, sure some players get it, but they're quarantined, kept away, they recover from it, and in the end, the sport crowns a national champion. If you are Michigan, how do you stand by that if that goes down in 2020 and you weren't a part of it? Or if you're Ohio State or you're Penn State? Because you have some answering to do. So, again, glad these conferences are back, but it doesn't feel like this decision was based on changing science. It seems like it was based on changing perception and changing criticism. And the Pac-12, you danced the dance with the Big Ten, and now you're just following suit. You're not making a big proclamation. You just did it because you didn't want to be the last man standing, on principle, no less. Lee Ellis joins us. We'll talk some NBA with our favorite Aussie as the bubble continues in Orlando next on Wake Up Call.
You're listening to Wake Up Call on the SportsMap Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage. Home loans that fit your life. Rocket can.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, NBA Western Conference, Eastern Conference Finals rolling along. Lee Ellis from the Athletic No Dunks podcast, who will be joining us in just a minute. Hey, listen up, sports bettors, with football, basketball, baseball all back. Baseball heading into the postseason, football rolling, basketball heading to the NBA Finals. Time to get down your bets. I only endorse one sportsbook. That's BetUS.com, because they're the pioneer in online betting, more than 25 years in the biz. You need a sportsbook with integrity, longevity, and you also need to know you're going to get paid. Call them 1-800-MYBETUS or go online to to BetUS.com. Get started. And when you get to the part where they say, how did you hear about us? Use SportsMap Radio. You can get a 150% bonus on your first deposit. Nobody in the industry is doing that. 150% on your first deposit. 25 years in the biz, the best bonuses. BetUS should be your sportsbook. Join today. 1-800-MY-BETUS or go to BetUS.com. All right, let's go to the Progressive guest line. Progressive making it easy to bundle your home and car insurance. Get your quote at Progressive.com today. Lee Ellis of The Athletic talking some NBA. How are you, my friend?
Very well, thanks. How are you guys?
I'm doing well. Last night, with the Lakers winning and going up 3-1, yep, that's exactly where the Nuggets were in two series. Tell me, though, that this is different, that this is a different team, that there's nothing, that there's something different about, besides LeBron and Anthony Davis, that the makeup of the Lakers are different than what they face with the Clippers.
Well, yeah, it's definitely different because I think the Lakers now know that the Nuggets are never going to go away quietly. So the Lakers are not going to maybe take their foot off the gas, because I think the Jazz did to some degree. And I think then the Clippers kind of ran out of gas, if you look at that game 7 against the Nuggets, and really weren't expecting to even get there. So, you know, LeBron knows what's at stake here. Another trip to the finals, which would be his 10th, and a chance to win another championship. And I certainly don't think he's going to take things lightly. And what you saw last night from LeBron, particularly on the defensive end, I thought he took a much more aggressive approach, particularly late there, by going on to Jamal Murray and really putting some pressure on him. I mean, Jamal Murray still played another incredible game. We saw some fantastic layups and you know, great all-round performance. But it was more that symbolism of LeBron saying, well, you know, you might get a couple of baskets here, but you're going to have to do it against some of the best defense you've ever seen. And you know, look, there was a couple of blocks there and just a couple of tougher shots that Jamal had to take, and he wasn't able to sort of pull his team over the line. But, you know, having said all that, it's still a close series. And, you know, I don't think, like, Game 5 is just a lock here for the Lakers. I think the Nuggets are going to throw everything they can at the Lakers and obviously try to win the game and extend the series. But it certainly is going to be tough for them to see them do it 3 times in a row, coming back from 3-1 down. Would be an incredible achievement, but you sort of feel at some point, you know, that's going to catch up with you, that you just can't keep doing that to advance in the playoffs.
In terms of the way you see LeBron, and this is, again, another amazing run of just getting teams to the finals, he's one game away from doing it with another team. How have you evaluated the way he's played in this postseason? He's letting others shine. He's done that before. Is this typical LeBron, or is it a little different than before?
Well, I think now at this stage of his career, he doesn't want to be the guy who has to go out there and put up the 40-point game and totally dominate his opponent. He can still kind of do that. I mean, not to the same ease that he used to be able to do it. But, you know, Anthony Davis, it should be Anthony Davis right now who should be the best player on the Lakers and should be the guy who's giving them the 35 points and being unstoppable. And he's been very, very good, no question about it. But he hasn't, you know, he hasn't sort of totally just crushed the Nuggets' spirit. He's been playing well and been shooting the ball, but the Nuggets are still in those games. And LeBron, I think, is trying to defer as much as he can. And then when his skills are required on the defensive end, like I said before on Jamal Murray, that's where LeBron really wants to exert his energy, I think, a little bit more, rather than be the guy who has to, you know, score and set up his teammates all the time. But, you know, you saw a good performance there from Rondo again last night, and Kuzma hit some shots. And, you know, that I think is what is most important for LeBron here, that he can trust his teammates to be able to score and to do those other things, so he's not doing all that workload. Because, you know, a couple of games in this series, I've noticed late in the game, particularly in the last game there in Game 3, LeBron did look a little gassed at the end of the game. And, you know, that's the sort of thing where if he is, and again, he's 35, he's going to be 36 soon, you know, it's natural that at any point, you know, anybody who gets to that stage of their career, you just don't have the same energy and the same legs as you used to have. So LeBron needs to be able to trust those teammates of his to be able to carry the load. And then if the game at the end of the game requires LeBron to use a little bit more energy, then he can still do it. So that's what I think you're seeing from him right now. And that's why I think he desperately wants to try to close this series out in 5 so that he can get an extra couple of days off rest before the final start.
Have you noticed, as somebody who follows this league year in and year out, have you noticed a different energy level with these teams that are playing every other night and have been playing every other night since the start? I mean, used to be in early playoffs, it'd be like game one was on a Wednesday and game two would be Saturday.
Yeah, no, I definitely have. And I think this is something for the bubble that has been great, is when you don't have to travel, you know, you can only take a day off and then the games continue to be played at a higher level, I think, because I think the actual quality of basketball we've seen in the bubble has been fantastic. And it's great. Now, I mean, this is not going to happen again, I wouldn't think, the bubble. So it's a one-off experiment. But it certainly changes things, I think, when it's like you just know the next game's coming, that, you know, you get a day off and then the next game. Now, that was slightly different, of course, there between the Celtics and the Heat. They took the very rare 3 days off. That was, I think, the NBA's idea was right, just to make sure that one series didn't finish too early than the other. But yeah, I think overall that just shows you that slog, especially when you're going to a city like Denver where you're up in the high altitude one day and then you're back in Los Angeles the next. I mean, the travel itself isn't all that long as far as you're only in the air for an hour, but it's that, you know, going to the airport, going to the hotel, checking into a new place all the time. Those are the sorts of things that can fatigue players a little bit as well later in the playoffs. So I think it's this whole bubble idea and the experiment there from the NBA has been incredibly well done and pulled off. And, you know, overall, we're seeing some incredible basketball. And you know, that's great for the NBA and it's great for the league.
You mentioned Jamal Murray, and he certainly has made a name for himself in this postseason and in this bubble. If you're Mike Malone, though, what other adjustments have you seen him make or not make in the either previous series against the Jazz and the Clippers that he needs to make now, or ones that he's missing in this series against the Lakers?
Well, Mike Malone, I think, has done a great job of trying to show his team that he trusts every player who goes out there on the court. But at some times, I think that has backfired a little bit because he just hasn't got consistent production out of his guys. And I think, you know, when you look at someone like Mason Plumlee, who, you know he's a backup center, you know what his role is, but when he goes out there, it's almost like cling on for dear life moments because he makes a few mistakes defensively and he doesn't give you enough offensively to sort of cover those. So, but he also can't play Nikola Jokic 48 minutes every game. He simply can't do that. He has to find someone else. So, you know, that's one problem. And then Michael Porter Jr., another guy who offensively, you know, he can score. He's capable of doing that. But defensively, he looks lost a lot of times. So it's tough for Michael Malone because he needs these other guys contributing when they come in off the bench. But then at the same time, if they're going to give back any of their offensive contributions on the defensive end, it's kind of a bit pointless. So what he decides to do here in Game 5 in a must-win situation will be interesting. If Nikola Jokic is not in foul trouble, because we see him pick up a few silly fouls at times, I have a feeling he's probably going to play him certainly the entire second half and try to buy a few minutes in that first half. But of course the Nuggets can't afford to be down too much, or maybe they can. That's the way they've been winning these games, by getting down big early and then coming back. But you know, Michael Malone knows that his two stars there, obviously Jamal and Nikola, need to have big games. And then if he can get Monte Morris and Paul Millsap, who was pretty bad last night, but he got in foul trouble early. You know, guys like those guys contributing, Torrey Craig as well, and Gary Harris. If those guys can make a positive contribution and hit some shots, then the Nuggets are a chance to extend the series. But if those guys aren't contributing and it falls all on Jokic and Murray, then kind of tough to see how the Nuggets can pull that one off.
Lee Ellis of The Athletic joining us as we go over the NBA playoffs. Let's go to the East. Miami did win their division, but are you surprised that they're one win away from the finals?
Yes, I think a lot of people are surprised that they're certainly 3-1 up against the Celtics as well.
Right.
Because this series, if you look at it, the Heat have won their three games by a combined 11 points, whereas the Boston Celtics, the only victory they had was by 11 points. And that just shows you how tight the series has been, even though Miami are in this position of strength now where they can close out that series tonight. But, you know, what's been really incredible is it hasn't been in this series in particular where Jimmy Butler's been taking over. We saw in the first two series against the Bucks and the Pacers, Jimmy Butler was really dominant. But in this series, he hasn't been that dominant, but the Heat have been getting the contributions from the other guys. None better than Tyler Hero there in Game 4.
Right.
You know, the 20-year-old kid out there looking like he's a 10-year vet. You know, shooting three, setting up his teammates, grabbing rebounds, driving inside, hitting clutch free throws at the end. Something you just don't really expect. And I mean, if you're the Boston Celtics, you say, well, listen, is a 20-year-old kid going to do that to us again in Game 5? You know, I mean, maybe, but you sort of think it's probably unlikely to happen just because it's just so rare to see a player that young show such poise and composure on the big stage. So, yeah, this is a fascinating series. And again, I think because there isn't a home court, I don't feel like the series is over by any means. because you know, the Celtics have been close and they've shown that they can run here with the Heat. It's just those couple of plays at the end of games which has really separated the two teams. And, I mean, that's sometimes all it takes. So if I'm the Celtics, I think they look at Miami and think, listen, we're still in this series, and we've seen teams come back from 3-1, of course, so it's not over by any means. And you know, the Miami Heat, I mean, if they were to somehow make it into the finals, and I mean, it would be a fascinating storyline, too, if we saw LeBron versus Pat Riley in the, yep, in the finals again there, because... you know, that's a great story. Of course, they won a couple of championships there with Miami, but their relationship ended on somewhat tenuous terms. And so, you know, to see those two battle against each other, their two teams would be pretty fascinating. But the good thing is, you know, I still think there's plenty of basketball left in this season. I'm really not convinced that either series is totally over. Even though the team's 3-1 up, I mean, you know, statistically they are going to advance, but it's certainly, from what we've seen in the bubble, things that's not a lock right now.
Yeah, I was just going to ask you about that with the Celtics, because Hayward is back, and I know it's kind of a slow going, but he played 31 minutes in Game 3, and is he looking better and looks like he could be a bigger factor as we go to Game 5?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, he's not the sort of guy who's going to go out and get you the 35 points, but for him to come off the bench and just give that steady hand to their offense and their defense, I mean, that's the thing about Gordon Hayward. He's a very unselfish player, that he goes out there and can provide whatever they need. If they need a little bit of shooting, he can give you that. If it's that playmaking, he can give you that. He can defend, he can rebound, he can just be there. His presence is important. And again, you look at the series and say, well, 3-1, well, Miami must be dominating, but they haven't been, you know, totally just like destroying the Celtics here. It's been close. And now that Hayward's had two games under his belt and his wife just gave birth, so maybe he's, you know, maybe there's a little less stress on him now, and it's a must-win situation. I kind of expect the Celtics to come out tonight pretty aggressive and to try to really go at the Heat and see if they can put them under pressure from the start. And Hayward, I mean, they missed him in the playoffs, no doubt about it. I mean, even though they've advanced to this stage, they just missed his steadiness. And now that he's back and now that he's got his legs under him a little bit more, I'm expecting a bigger performance from him, at least tonight. But it's just such a luxury for Brad Stevens to be able to have a guy like that come in off the bench, knowing how capable he is of really just contributing to his team and helping. So, you know, if you're the Celtics, you look at that last game 4 there where, you know, Jason Tatum started off slowly but finished strong. And again, it was a 3-point game. One or two of those possessions at the end changes, and we could be looking at a 2-2 series, and everything's different.
Lee, love having you on, my friend. Great stuff. Hope to catch you on as we get to the finals. Thank you so much for your time.
For sure, guys. Anytime.
You got it. Lee Ellis of The Athletic, No Dunks Podcast, covering the NBA playoffs, Eastern and Western Conference Finals in the Disney World bubble, which has gone swimmingly so far. Absolutely swimmingly. I'll come back. We'll wrap it up as we continue along with Wake Up Call.
This is Wake Up Call on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, coming up tomorrow, boxing fans treated to 2 stacked fight cards, one night, one price, 6 compelling fights in all, 5 world titles, Jamal Charlo, identical twins attempting to defend their titles in separate 3 fight cards on the same night. Go to the Showtime app or order online at Showtime.com for the Charlo doubleheader. It begins at 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific. There'll be plenty of fights, as we mentioned earlier, 2 stacked fight cards and 5 world titles on the line. Again, Showtime app or Showtime.com and order the Charlo doubleheader, all for one price of $74.99. God, I love Lee Ellis, don't you? He's so fun to talk to.
Yeah.
So good.
I honestly feel like we're not worthy.
I know.
I feel like next time he comes on, we need to go full Wayne and Garth on him.
That's true.
We're not worthy.
We suck. Michael did ask us to ask him if he puts Foster on his cereal, which I didn't do, but next time he comes on, I might have find a second to mention that.
I mean, maybe that's how we open.
Maybe so. Just right off the bat.
Before
we get to the basket.
Settle an argument.
Yeah, because
I heard.
This is really, you know, the idea that it's Anheuser-Busch made me sad.
Well, you come from the standpoint, like, I heard that, you know, Foster's is Australian for beer, and Ron is telling me that it's not.
Yes, but I did my research, and now I know you were right.
I know I'm right.
Right. So we can ask him and pretend like we actually are in disagreement and have him settle it.
Yeah, settle that. A fight.
I'll do it.
Have him be, you know, the Foster's beer marriage counselor.
He, by the way, in case you missed it, he had a very bold prediction, in case you missed it. He does not think these series, which are in control of the Miami Heat and the LA Lakers, to end soon.
Yeah, that doesn't make me feel good.
Right? He does not feel like he thinks there's more basketball to be played in both of these series.
Yeah.
Now, tonight you've got Game 5 with Boston and Miami. Saturday it's the Lakers and the Nuggets. Both of those series could be over by Sunday. He thinks they'll be extended a few more days.
That's why I wanted the Nuggets to win last night, because I wanted it to be 2-2. 3-1 scares me.
The 3-1 scares you. Jake Asman Show coming up next at Sports Map Radio.